Good morning. Again, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I know it'll be on your screen as well, but there's nothing wrong with reading from a good analog Bible as well. I'll be reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 12 in the ESV. Beginning in verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I consider myself a fan of Grace Presbyterian Church. I love your pastor and his family. Hello, Marissa. You get to see me on the television. I know several members of your session and consider them brothers that I trust. This Eddie character, on the other hand, I'm just joking. I've enjoyed getting to know Eddie, and it's an honor to be here on this exciting day in his life and in the life of your church. And so I thought it might be useful on a day like today to stop and ask the question, what's the point of all this? Why is Grace Presbyterian Church here? And I don't mean historically, like what are the events that led up to Grace's existence, but biblically and theologically, what is the local church for? Why does any church exist? Here's your answer. Local churches exist to promote the glory of God through transformed lips and transformed lives. In today's text, Peter is talking to local churches in modern-day Turkey, and listen to how he describes their churches. Look with me again, verses 4 through 6. As you come to him, this is Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Okay, so Jesus is this cornerstone. Kids, if you don't know what a cornerstone is, it's a big old rock at the corner of a building that everything else gets built upon. And this house that's being built is you. And you Christians, each of you are a living stone that's being built on the cornerstone of Jesus. But, as the verse goes on, you're not just the stones that make up this house. You're also priests that serve God in this house. You're living stones, and you're holy priests. It might seem like Peter is mixing his metaphors here, but instead he's dramatically making a point that Paul makes elsewhere, that local churches are to be like the temple that used to be in Jerusalem. And what happened in that building? Two things primarily happened in that building. Anybody want to guess what one of them is? Worship and, there we go, all right, there you go. worship and sacrifices. These are kind of the two main things that happen there. So the temple and its activities is something that we as a local church are supposed to look at, and it is to inform our self-understanding. The temple and its work in Jerusalem is to inform our view of who we are and what we do. Now, is Peter saying we should be continuing animal sacrifices? Of course not. And is he saying that Gentilic Christian worship should be exactly like Jewish worship? No. But what's the analogy? What sacrifices do we offer up? What worship do we offer up as a new priesthood and a new temple? Peter tells us it starts with our lips. Look at verse 9. He says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood." We see that again, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, Peter says, you are a member of God's royal priesthood, his holy nation, his people. But why? That you may proclaim his excellencies. That you may proclaim the excellencies of God in Christ. Why does the local church exist? So that we would promote the glory of God through transformed lips. Your church exists to make the glory of God known verbally, with words. Without the verbal proclamation of the glory of God, you are not fulfilling your reason as a church. You have been sovereignly put together by God, brick by brick, so that you would proclaim his excellency with your mouths. How do we do that? Well, we do it primarily in two ways. We've already been doing it. So you get together, you worship God, you disciple one another, and what are y'all doing while you're in this building? You're talking, you're singing, you're praying, you're preaching all about the good news of Jesus Christ. You're making the glory of God known in this place through the work of worship and discipleship. But the hope then is that you guys and the guys up here, that we would continue the conversation about the glory of God with our transformed lips when we leave this place. So we gather, we talk, we sing, we pray about how wonderful our saving God is so that we would leave here and tell others how wonderful he is. The Jewish temple was not just a place for believers to retreat from the world. It was also intended to be a lighthouse to the world. If you read the prophets, one of the things that consistently they rebuke Israel for is this place was to be a lighthouse to the nations. The desire is that all nations would stream to the temple. What is a priest anyway? A priest is a mediator between God and sinners. So yes, we gather to celebrate God. We gather to grow in love for him. We gather to make much of Jesus. That is absolutely central to our mission. But so also we must take his glory beyond these walls. We proclaim his excellency when we're together so that we will be equipped and able to have those conversations outside of here. Well, where? Where are we to be speaking the excellencies of God? At home. In your neighborhood. In your schools. In your workplace. Everywhere you go. You exist as a group who glorifies God when you are gathered so that you would then glorify God when you are scattered, and we have to do it with our lips. Have you ever thought about the way God chose to reveal himself? He revealed himself through a written word. God wants his glory to be expressed verbally by his people. But if our lives don't back up our words, if our lives do not reflect the things we say with our mouths, then our words are going to ring hollow. Thus, we must proclaim the glory of God not only with transformed lips, but also with transformed lives. And that's how we make the glory of God visually known when we live and love like Jesus. It's hard to read Peter talking about offering up sacrifices without thinking of Paul In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We're talking about worship. We're talking about promoting the glory of God, making his character and his deeds known. That's why your church is here. And when it comes to worship, when it comes to what we're doing right now, the Lord loves hearing you sing. Y'all are a great singing church, by the way. Well done. The Lord loves it when we sing. He loves it when we pray. He loves it when we preach, so long as it is a true expression of our hearts. What God desires more than sacrifices or outward works is a heart of love for him that overflows in love for our neighbor. He desires steadfast love, not sacrifice. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants for all of your life to flow from love for him. That kind of life, that's a sacrifice of love. That's spiritual worship that God invites. And I don't want you to begin thinking, just as an aside, because I'm the guy with the microphone, I can do that, right? Don't think what I'm saying this morning is you exist as a church to produce. And if you're not doing your best, if you're not reaching the qualitative or quantitative measure that you kind of have in your head, then you're just a terrible Christian. All of this flows from reliance on Christ. All of our attempts at love and worship are going to fall short. Everything we have is grace. So don't misread all these imperatives we have in this text. Every day we know we're going to fall short, but we're forgiven, we're loved, we're treasured by God because of the work of Christ, and it's from that place of resting in him that we are able to then overflow with love for him that looks like a life redeemed. Okay, so back to our text. Peter reflects the same principle that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12. So look at verses 10 through 12. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. We want people to see our lives, to see our good deeds in a way that makes them glorify God on the day of judgment. Our words about God ring true when our lives consistently reflect Jesus' holiness and Jesus' love. We used to be cut off from God, children of wrath, on the wrong side of history, living lives of futility, controlled by our flesh. But when we believed in Christ, God showed us mercy. He didn't only forgive us, he gave us a new nature. He has set us free to be able to live in the way of Jesus. Listen, I know you're a sinner. I know you doubt. I know you struggle, but if you trust Christ, you need not sin. You've been filled with his Spirit, and you are able to live and love like Jesus. And the hope is that even when people hear us talk about God, they may think we're crazy, but as they see your life consistently lived out, reflecting the things you say, that there's going to come a point where they say, maybe there's something to this. Your life convinces them that your words are the truth, so that they too will join you in glorifying God. That's what we want, is that our unbelieving friends will see our lives and be so struck with the connection between our lives and our words that they will have no choice but to praise God with us. This is the point of the local church, to make the glory of God known with our lips and our lives. And our hope is that God's glory would be contagious, that as we speak and live differently, he would be promoted in this place, and the glory of God would spread not just at Grace Presbyterian Church, but through all of Alexandria and beyond. We want the good news of God's grace to spread so that other lips and lives are transformed. The point of your church is not church growth. It is not even survival. The point is the spread of the glory of God here and outside of here. But here's what you can't miss in this text. You guys, y'all are a house made up of living stones built on Jesus. Who are those stones? It's you. You are those stones. And that means this thing is incomplete without you. Every Christian in the local church is essential for the work of the local church. God has you here for a reason. He wants to glorify himself through you in this place, through your lips, through your life, and you are able to do this work. Your individual importance, your role in promoting the glory of God is all over this text. You can't escape it. You're a stone. You're a priest. You're offering sacrifices. You're proclaiming his excellency. It's your lips. It's your lives. Do you think of Grace Presbyterian Church as your ministry? I'd bet a lot of people refer to this as Brian's church. Ain't Brian's church. Soon people will refer to it as Eddie's church. They may already. But that misses the point. Grace is not their ministry. It's y'all's ministry with them, to God and to the world. So local churches are not the ministry of a pastor and its leadership to the congregation. I think a lot of people think that. Oh, I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to be served. That's not a biblical notion of a church. No. The local church is the ministry of the congregation and its leadership to God and to the world. That's what a priest is doing. A priest is serving God, and the priest is serving the world. Peter, when he talks to these local churches, these churches have elders teaching and ruling, just like us, just like Eddie and Brian, but he calls them all priests together. They are all to proclaim God's excellency. They are all to live transformed lives. So this should have two effects on us. Eddie, here's your charge. Brian, elders, me. This should keep us from getting too self-important. But members of the church, this challenges you to step up to the plate. Elders and pastors do have their role, and we even do some priestly things like overseeing worship and the sacraments. But our main job is to equip you as priests to serve God and to serve others through your lips and lives. And if we're not all playing our part, you're not obeying the Lord. So for Grace Presbyterian to fulfill its purpose, every one of you needs to be thinking through this. What's my part in this mutual ministry to God and the world? How has God called me to serve him by glorifying him? And how has he called me to serve the world by glorifying him? And this is where you might interject, I'm not a priest, I'm a mom. I'm not a priest, I'm a retiree. I'm not a priest, I'm a kid. If you've trusted Christ and been filled with his Spirit, you are able to play your part. How does the passage begin? Look again, verse 4 into verse 5. As you come to him by faith, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. You yourselves are being built up. This doesn't say that you are building yourselves up. You're being built up. Who is it? It's putting these bricks together. It's God. He led you to this church. He is the one by his Holy Spirit who gives you the ability to glorify him with your lips and your life. He is the one who has given you your unique voice, your unique life, your unique abilities and connections so that you can glorify God in a way that the others here can't. You can't be Pastor Brian. You can't be Pastor Eddie because God doesn't want you to be. You're not supposed to be. God has equipped you by his Holy Spirit to glorify him with your lips and with your life. He chose you. If you're here today, it's not accidental. He put you here. Once you were not a Christian, but now you are a Christian. Once you were not a member of grace, and now you are. Some of you I saw were seated during the questions to the congregation. Maybe you will also soon be a member of grace, and I would invite you to consider that. God put you here for a reason, and the reason is his glory. It was to proclaim his excellency with your lips and your life together with these people. He didn't appoint you to do it alone. He's building us up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. We all have a part to play, and we do it together. And in closing, here's how you can start. Love each other well. A fruitful church that glorifies God is full of members who are actively seeking to support each other and love each other like family. We see this in two ways in our text. Not only are the bricks on top of each other, but when Peter describes us as a temple, he doesn't use that word temple, does he? No, he says we are a spiritual house or household. God is shaping your church community to be God's household, to be the family of God. So we got another metaphor kind of stacked in here with the others. God put you together so that you would be like big brothers and little brothers and big sisters and little sisters to each other, to support each other, to encourage each other, to challenge each other, and to celebrate one another's delight in Christ. And how do we show each other this love? Well, you can use your gifts to serve each other. I'm sure this morning in your Sunday school class, we've had teachers who are using their gifts. Today, Eddie led us in music, and our musicians did so ably. They used their gifts to help you glorify God. What gifts has God given you to bless this community? I saw on the back of your worship guide here that many of you have been tithing. That's another way that you can support and love this community and help them to glorify God. But here's one you might not have considered. You know how kids spell love, right? Anybody know? T-I-M-E. It's not just kids. If we are to be a spiritual household, encouraging one another as we seek to glorify God, that means spending time with each other. And yes, of course, on Sunday morning, but also at other times. The biblical vision of the local church is that it becomes a primary community in your life. You become cemented together in this spiritual house, this holy priesthood, so that you can lean on one another as you seek to glorify God with your lips and lives. So I encourage you to engage deeply with each other. Love each other well. Listen well. Forgive often. Learn to rest on each other. Our ministry is mutual alongside each other. And we love each other in the process by giving each other time. So are you sharing your time, your life with these people, not just on Sundays, but at other times as well? That's what family does. We eat together. We celebrate together. We enjoy one another. So what is the purpose of the local church? It's to spread God's glory through transformed lips and lives. But how do we get there? Well, we do some things when we're here, when we're gathered. We proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. We invest in each other. We help each other to grow in this work of glorifying God. But the desire is that as we leave this place, his glory would shine through our lips and lives. We are the church gathered so that we might be the church scattered. We proclaim his glory together so that we will continue that work outside of these walls. And when you came to Christ, he made you able to do this work. And he put you in this church so that you could accomplish it together. So what do? We love each other like family. We give ourselves to each other in trust and truth and love. We use our gifts and we give our time to one another. So as you invest in each other, I believe you will see the glory of God spread, not only in this church, but in Alexandria and beyond, even to Beirut, Lebanon, and one day his glory will fill the earth. Let us pray. Oh God, may your glory shine in this place, Grace Presbyterian Church. May it shine beyond this place as we go from here today, having fed on Christ and rested in Christ. May our lives and lips be transformed. And we pray that your glory would spread far beyond us. Lord, you are exactly what the world needs for life, for joy, for purpose. And so we pray that we would go beaming and joyful in Christ, that we may share the good news of your glory with them. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.